Check out my new book, Coping Courageously, a heart-centered guide for navigating a loved one's illness without losing yourself. It's appropriate for you as a clinician, for your patients, and for anyone you know who has a seriously ill loved one or an aging parent. Check it out and tell a friend. Where we help physicians and other clinicians master the art of integrative symptom management so they can wholeheartedly care for themselves as they expertly care for their patients. Welcome to the Integrative Palliative Podcast. I'm Dr. Delia Caramonti, and today is a really big day for me because my book launches. So the book is called Coping Courageously, a heart-centered guide for navigating a loved one's illness without losing yourself. And I hope that you will buy it for yourself. I hope you'll buy it for people in your life who are facing a sick loved one. And I hope you'll buy it for your patients, or at least recommend it for your patients. And if you have a patient library, you might want to put it there. So it is appropriate both for families who are dealing with a serious illness, but also for any clinician who cares for people dealing with a serious illness. Coping Courageously, a heart-centered guide for navigating a loved one's illness without losing yourself. You can get it on Amazon, and I hope you'll take a look. The title of today's episode is Don't Should on Your Patients. Don't should on them. Don't tell them what they should do. And here's who shoulds on patients. The patients should on themselves. Family members should on patients all the time. And even physicians and clinicians, we should on patients too. So I have 8 things that we all as a group should stop shooting on patients about. Number one thing that people get the message that they should do is having a rah-rah approach to their cancer. I have a dear friend who had cancer, breast cancer, and she felt this pressure from the outside that she should wear pink, that she should go to survivorship events, that she should be raising money for breast cancer. There was this club, this sort of club of pink, rah-rah breast cancer, which is great for people who like that. And for many, many people, that kind of structure is incredibly supportive, but for her, it wasn't. And she felt this pressure. She didn't even know from where, just kind of societally, that she was supposed to be rah-rah about her cancer. And she didn't feel rah-rah about her cancer. She felt dark and furious and didn't want to try to pretty it up. So there's not one way to do cancer. People can do cancer any way they want. And actually, one of the chapters in the book is called You Do You Boo and is all about that, that your illness is your illness. And none of us clinicians, family members, etc., should be trying to tell people how to do it or how to feel during their illness. Number two, people get the impression that they should be tough. They should work through chemo. They should handle their symptoms. They shouldn't whine and cry. And I would say clinicians are less likely to put that on patients, but sometimes family members are. And so that's something that we might counsel family members about. Caregivers sometimes should on themselves that they need to be the perfect caregiver, that they have to spend every moment with their person, that they have to move in with them or bring their aging parent into their home, that they're not allowed to not want to go over there, that they're not allowed to take time for themselves. And we really need, as clinicians, to help caregivers see that there is no perfect caregiver and there's no standard that they need to meet, and they need to take care of themselves and also their loved one, and that prioritizing their own well-being is an important part of caring for somebody else. So that's an important thing for us to do as clinicians, is to give them permission, because they often will not give themselves permission to do that. Here's one that lots of people should on the patients about: having a positive attitude. Oh, you have to have a positive attitude, or your cancer is going to come back, or, you know, you have to have a positive attitude about the outcome. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And that can really veer into toxic positivity. And that's not helpful for people who are not feeling particularly positive. If someone does have a positive attitude, that's wonderful. And if there are things that we can do, helping them learn to meditate, to exercise, to see a therapist, to write in a journal, to talk about their feelings, that can help them get to a positive attitude, great. But this feeling that they should have a positive attitude is not healthy for them. And so we shouldn't imply that as clinicians. We can help the caregiver see that trying to impose a positive attitude on somebody else actually has the opposite effect. Number five, Sometimes clinicians should on patients that the patient should choose or continue aggressive treatments. Sometimes people with advanced cancers at diagnosis want aggressive treatments, and sometimes they don't. And that's actually fine. That's okay. So if they choose not to pursue aggressive treatment, that's perfectly fine. We want to make sure that we don't give the impression that we're mad or disappointed or rejecting them in any way. Or if somebody has been doing aggressive treatments and then change their mind and decide to stop, again, we want to make sure that we don't give the impression that they're doing the wrong thing. We want to educate them, of course, but we also should recognize that we may bring some of our own wounds to this conversation. So if this person reminds us of our spouse or a child or a parent, and we really want them to keep going because we would want that for our own loved one, we have to be really careful that we're not bringing that energy into the room and giving the patient the impression that we think they should do it a certain way. And if they don't, they're somehow wrong or bad. We can give our opinion, but then they choose what they choose, and that's perfectly okay. And it's important that we make it clear once they've chosen that we support them as people in whatever choice they make for themselves. Many people can should on patients about talking about their feelings, that they should talk. A loved one may feel like, I'm ready. I read your book, Dr. Caramonti. I know how to have tough conversations, and I tried with my dad and he won't talk about anything. So we have this, many of us, this feeling of like, well, it's better to talk about your feelings. You should talk about it. You should talk about death if your illness is very advanced. But the fact is, not everybody wants to. So ideally, we provide the environment for them to do that if they want to. But if they don't want to, that's perfectly fine. So we shouldn't be shooting on people that you should be more open, you should be more communicative, you should talk about your feelings, you should go deeper. No, they can really do whatever they want to. We just want to make it possible for them to do that if they want to. And if they don't, we don't want to make them feel badly about it. As clinicians, we do this one a lot. Number 7, we should on people about taking their pain medicines. You have to take your pain medicines. And family members do this too. You have to take your pain medicines. Now, we can certainly encourage them to take their pain medicines. We could even use motivational interviewing to see, well, would taking your pain medicines allow you to do something that's really important to you? So maybe you sort of do want to take your pain medicines. But if they really don't, and some people not only are fine with pain, sometimes people choose pain. Sometimes people choose pain because they want to be really present in the experience. Sometimes they choose pain because they feel like they need punishment for something. If that's true, we probably should do a spiritual care referral, but sometimes people make that choice. When I was in labor the second time, I had terrible pain. I thought I was going to do it without medication, but I just couldn't do it at the end. But I asked for just a little bit of medicine. I wanted to feel the experience. And the anesthesiologist shamed me and couldn't believe that I wanted to feel pain. And I said, I want to be present in this experience. I want to feel it. I just don't want to be in such agony. Can you just give me a little bit? We had a whole drama around the fact that he thought that I should get all of my pain relieved when that was not what I wanted. And then here's another one that clinicians do to people all the time. We should on them about their code status, thinking that somebody with an advanced disease should change their code status to DNR. Now, in many cases, it might be the best thing for the person to change their code status to DNR, DNI. But if they truly don't want to, that's, at least in the United States at this point, that is their right. And we shouldn't make them feel badly about it. We should help them identify their goals. We should help them understand the lack of benefit that they might be likely to get from advanced care in the intensive care unit. But if their goal is to try to be here every single minute on earth that they can, no matter what that looks like, if that really is their goal, then it's fine. And we shouldn't, I'm shooting on you now, we shouldn't make them feel badly about their choice. So as a review, here are the things that people tend to feel they should do, and we want to make sure not to do that. 1, have a rah-rah approach to cancer. 2, be tough during their treatment experience. 3, be a perfect caregiver and give of themselves completely. 4, have a positive attitude all the time, even when things are tough. 5, choose or continue aggressive treatment because the doctor or clinician thinks it's a good idea. 6, talk about their feelings. 7, take their pain meds. And 8, change their code status to DNR if they have an advanced illness or advanced age. And then for all of us, we should all stop shooting on ourselves about a million things about how our house looks, about our weight, about what clothes we have, about where we are in our career. Forget all that. It's not helpful. Should really isn't helpful. And so let's instead try to focus on the things that we feel grateful for in our life. What's going well? What are we happy about? What are we grateful for? And then how can we put good into the world? So thanks for being here. I really appreciate that you listen. Please check out my book, Coping Courageously, A Heart-Centered Guide for Navigating a Loved One's Illness Without Losing Yourself. It's on Amazon. And I will see you next week. Bye-bye. This podcast is brought to you by the Integrative Palliative Institute. Visit our website, integrativepalliative.com. There you can access physician and clinician training, well-being coaching, free downloads, and other cool stuff. And feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn and share your favorite episode with a friend.